It's been 40 years since this Jew has been following Jesus as Messiah. I want to tell you why I'm absolutely sure that Jesus, Yeshua, is our Messiah and King.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. This is a special broadcast on this Thursday, the first Thursday of the new year, this thoroughly Jewish Thursday here on The Line of Fire. I won't be taking calls, but by all means, share your comments and thoughts on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, or on our website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. I want to tell you why I am sure that Jesus is our Messiah. Now, let me make this as plain as I can. I do want to influence you. I do want to encourage you. If you are a follower of Jesus, Jewish or Gentile, I want to encourage you. If you're not a follower of Jesus, if you don't believe in him, in particular if you're a Jewish person, I want to encourage you to think about this. I want to encourage you to consider him as our Messiah and the Savior of the world. But what I'm doing today is more testifying to my own experience, testifying to my own perspective, then trying to persuade you to believe what I believe. All right? So some of what I say, you might say, well, that's subjective. Well, that's fine. I'm telling my story. I'm giving my testimony, to use biblical terms. I am bearing witness. Look, we can only talk about what we have seen and heard ourselves. If there's an accident that takes place on a street corner in Manhattan, they don't ask someone that was 3 miles away sitting at their desk what happened. They ask the people who were there what happened. So I want to give the story of my own life, as well as in my study of the scriptures and as my travels to many different nations, what I've experienced, what I've seen, what I've learned. I want to share it with you. I want to present it to you. And I'm going to break it down basically into five categories as to why I believe what I believe, that Jesus is our Messiah. Now, for those that don't know my story at all, I'm 56 years old, so I was born March 16th, 1955. I was born in Manhattan, and then my family moved to Long Island right before I turned 7 years old. And we were conservative Jews. Now, for those that don't know the difference between Orthodox, conservative, and Reform Judaism, conservative is not the same as conservative politically. In fact, politically, we were very liberal. My dad was active in the Democratic Party in New York. But conservative Jews are somewhat similar to perhaps Christians that attend church a few times a year, but they know that they're not Muslims, they know that they're not Buddhists, and perhaps they have a feeling towards Christianity and a certain belief in Jesus, but they're not super religious people. That's the way we were as Jews. So the High Holy Days, we would go to synagogue, we would celebrate Hanukkah in our home, and I would pray the prayers that I learned in Hebrew school as we would light the candles, but we were not very religious. For example, my family didn't keep kosher. I've never been a pork eater myself, basically, but my family didn't keep kosher. We didn't go to synagogue every Sabbath. We lived as, quote, conservative Jews. I was bar mitzvahed when I was 13 years old, and the more formative event for me when I was 13 was going to see Jimi Hendrix in concert with my sister at the New York Philharmonic. My dad got us tickets. The Beatles had come to America in 64, and now this was 68. I was playing drums. I wanted to be in a rock band. The whole rock culture had its pull on me. And soon enough, when I was 14, I started getting high. By the time I was 15, I was shooting heroin. When I was 16, I was radically transformed. I became a believer in Jesus. The drugs went out. Things changed basically overnight. My mom and dad were thrilled. My dad said, "That's great. We're so glad you're off drugs, but we're Jewish. You need to talk to the local rabbi." And so began an amazing odyssey. 40 years later, I'll tell you the story.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast on this special Thursday. I'm not taking calls. I am testifying today. How I know, why I know that Jesus, Yeshua, is our Messiah. I say that as a Jew, our Messiah. I say it as a follower of Jesus. He is the Savior of the world. He is the Lord. He is the one that God sent into the world to bring us into right relationship with God. Outside of Him, we have no salvation. I'm testifying to why I believe those things. I welcome your comments on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown. That's Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, or our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Okay, I want to give you five basic reasons that I believe what I believe. And the first one is this. Again, I'm sharing my own testimony experience. You might say, well, I had some dynamic experience when I joined Scientology or became a member of the Hare Krishna group, or when I became a traditional Jew. Fine. I'm sharing my testimony. I encourage you to listen to the whole story. First thing is my personal life transformation. First thing, how my own life was dramatically transformed. Hey, this makes an impact on you when this is what happened to you. I sinned on a as regular a basis as I could as a teenager before I knew the Lord, as freely as I could, as often as I could, in particular with drugs, in particular just filled with pride and an unclean life, as often as I could, and I did things that I'm terribly ashamed of today, especially some of the things I did with stealing and deception, and I did this without any sense of guilt for 2 years. I'm talking about I was proud of these things. I would lay in bed at night high on some drug and think how all the miserable things I did, and I stole money from my own father. I mean, it's shameful to even say these words, how I betrayed my best friends and claimed that somebody attacked me and stole money I had for drugs, and that's why they didn't get their money back. I laid in bed thinking, you are cool. You are unbelievable. Now people start praying for me. I didn't know anybody was praying for me. I didn't know this was going on. No, nobody told me that they were praying for me so that I would now know and start to feel guilty or something. No. Something just started to change. Something started to change, and I started to feel unclean. I'd lay in bed at night. I couldn't fall asleep. Whatever drugs I was on, I used to sleep if I wanted to. Now I couldn't sleep. I'm laying there in bed. I'm feeling miserable. How could you do this to your parents? How could you do this to your friends? What a wretch you are. And I thought, well, I gotta do different drugs. And these drugs are keeping me up at night. I can't live like this. So there was no consciousness of God in my life at that point. But God himself was at work. As people in this little church prayed to God on my behalf over the years as I got to know them, and then some that were very old as I got to know their kids, and they said, oh yeah, my dad prayed for you every day once you came to that church the first time. He started praying for you. And the Holy Spirit started to convict me. Jesus said that he would send the Holy Spirit into the world, and the Holy Spirit would convict us of sin. That's what happened in my own life. Guilty. Guilty as charged. Some of you are listening to me thinking, yeah, that's the way I feel now. I mean, people have been telling me about Jesus, and I've been saying I'm fine, I'm a good person, I don't need God, and suddenly I feel kind of like spiritually naked. I feel like I'm this terrible person. Good, good, that's a good sign. God's not showing you your sin to chase you away. He's showing you your sin to draw you near. He's not a judge sitting there with a gavel to pound that gavel and say, away from me, you guilty one. He's saying, come near to me, you guilty one, because he has a remedy. He has a solution in the sacrifice of his son Jesus on your behalf. Well, in my life, and then a light went on. Something happened November 12th of 71. I didn't mean to do this seriously in any way, but my friends had been talking to me about Jesus for months. I was resisting. I was mocking. The first service I went to in August of 71, I went to pull them out. I went to show that this whole thing was stupid because I was so proud and convinced that I could show them it was wrong. And now it's some months later, I finally went back to a second service. Just to be silly, to think these people got a rise out of it, these older people, I thought old, I mean, they're 40s, 50s, 60s, right? I'm 16. These people get a rise out of this. I'm gonna go up at the end of the service when they say, anyone here want to receive Jesus? And they'll really think it's big deal. I just walk out of the building and never see him again. Can you imagine the kind of person that would do that? To think, yeah, I'll do this to these people. I'll think it's a big deal. Just making a mockery of it. But see, God had been working in my heart. And as I just began to open up, a light went on, and I believed that Jesus died for my sins. For the first time, I believed it. I thought, well, now I have a predicament. I believe he died and rose from the dead. I can't tell you why. I can't explain it intellectually at this point. Yeah, I can now, but that's not what was going on then. And again, I'm going to give you five reasons why I believe and I'm sure that Jesus is our Messiah. And I'm just testifying. Yeah, I want to convince you. I want to persuade you. I want to encourage you that already believe and help persuade those that don't. But I'm sharing this more to share it, to give you my experience, my life, my history. The first Thursday now of the new year, I felt this is a good, appropriate day to do it. Okay, I'm in this church, little church building in Queens, New York. I don't know, 50 people there, if that many. I pray this prayer. I say, Jesus, I believe you died for my sins, rose from the dead. I promise to live for you the rest of my life. And as I said the words, I said, God, I'm not willing to. I'm not willing to change. I love my drugs. I love this whole rock star identity. I was a kid, but that was our dream. We're going to be rock stars and this whole bit. So I said, okay, you know, this is a prayer I prayed. Stupid prayer, but just a kid, right? Didn't know any better. Well, I probably knew better, but this is where God met me where I was. And I said, God, you know, when I go home, I'm shooting cocaine tonight. Cocaine was the new drug that had come into town, and I had bought a large quantity, and I was dealing it. And I said, you know, when I go home, I'm shooting cocaine tonight. If you don't want me to do it, don't let it have any effect on me. So first I smoked another drug, a very, very potent drug called PCP. And normally that would completely devastate you. And I smoked that and nothing happened. A decent amount, actually a large amount. And then I shot a large amount of cocaine and nothing happened. My heart just started to beat a little and then everything stopped. And I thought, something is going on. And the next 5 weeks I wrestled. I wrestled back and forth and back and forth. 5 weeks wrestling. One day going to church, next day shooting heroin. Back and forth. And taking steps towards God, recognizing his reality, recognizing his love, recognizing the wrongness of what I'm doing. But now I'm trapped in what I'm doing. It says in Scripture that we're enslaved to our sins. Jesus said whoever sins is a slave to sin. So I go to a service December 17th of 71. I can't wait to get there. Oh, I've got this incredible anticipation. I can't wait to get there. And I get to the service, and we're singing these little songs. You've got to remember, my music then, I lived at the Fillmore East practically. I went to concert after concert there. And then in other venues, you know, saw Jimi Hendrix a second time at Madison Square Garden, first at the Philharmonic, and saw The Doors and Janis Joplin at Madison Square Garden, then all these famous groups at the Fillmore East, from the Grateful Dead to The Who to Jethro Tull to Led Zeppelin, and I just lived there in that music. I listened to it day and night. Now we're singing these little ditties. There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whisper sweet and low, make me a blessing. It's like these little church ditties. And the joy of the Lord so floods my soul in such an overwhelming and incredible way. The joy of the Lord so touches me that I realize that this must be what they call the joy of the Lord. This is different than any other thing I've ever experienced, whether it be at a drug high or a music high or a friendship high or doing good to someone, the feelings you get, a sports high. This is different. This is what they call the joy of the Lord. And just then, I understood how deeply God loved me. And that he sent Jesus to die for me and my sin. And the picture that I got at that moment, the picture that I got was as if I had been playing in the mud and I was filthy from head to toe. And I came inside and God washed me head to toe and put these beautiful white garments on me. And I was going back into the mud. And right then and there, I said, Lord, I will never put a needle in my arm again. Oh, this had been a stronghold. You can only imagine. I was not addicted to any one drug, but I was addicted to the needle. This was a stronghold. Maybe say I'll take a break for a few weeks or a month and see what happens, but to say I'll never do it again, it was like a mountain. At that moment, it was a molehill, and I never touched it from that day on. Friends, I have a personal testimony of the extraordinary life-changing power of Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. This is the beginning. Now I've got 40 years of testimony to tell you, but that is the first thing. My personal experience in Jesus, Yeshua is the number one reason, the first reason why I know that He is our Messiah and the Savior of the world. We'll come back with much more. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thank you so much for joining us. I'm not taking calls. This is a special broadcast on our first Thursday, our thoroughly Jewish Thursday, our first Thursday of the new year. I thought it would be appropriate to share my story, to share my testimony, to give you five fundamental reasons why I am sure that Jesus, Yeshua, is our Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, and the Savior of the world. So I'm not taking calls, but feel free to post your comments on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, or to post on our website, AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. Now, for those that aren't able to listen to the entire hour now, let me just give you the five reasons. The first one I've shared in some detail, my personal life transformation. My personal life transformation from darkness into light, from bondage into freedom, from serving Satan in the flesh to serving God, almost instantaneous deliverance from drugs and from shooting drugs. And that was just the outward transformation. All the other junk that had to be dealt with, I mean, the deep transforming changes in life and attitude and character and personality by the power of God in a very short period of time. And then, of course, growing, seeking to grow ever since then. Number two, the power of the person of Yeshua and the New Testament itself is God's Word. Again, I'll expand on this. Number three, the messianic prophecies. Of course, if that's all I had, that would be wonderful. That would be enough to base faith on. But we don't just have intellectual or factual proof. We have experience as well. Number four, the worldwide work of God through Jesus. The worldwide work of God through Jesus and the power of His name. And number five, His confirming work in my life over the last 40 years. So, number one, my personal transformation. You can read it on my website from LSD to PhD, where I share some of my testimony. You can watch videos of it, a TV kind of recreation that was done as I shared things in my old hometown, and then preaching in a church where we lay it out. And you could read it. So from LSD to PhD. Number two, and I'm giving this kind of chronologically as it unfolded. The messianic prophecies became critically important, wonderfully important, and choice things that God used in speaking to me and helping me grow as a believer and put roots down as a believer. But I'm giving chronologically, the first thing that happened was my personal life transformation. Well, now what happens is I start reading the scriptures. And I'm reading different parts. I'm reading select parts. To be perfectly honest, many of you heard me share this before, but what I first started reading was the visionary portions of Scripture, because they were very much like our hallucinogenic experiences. I'm telling you the truth. Parts of Revelation, parts of Daniel, visions from Zechariah, because my friends and I were all heavy drug users and a lot of the time into psychedelics, and we had these crazy visionary drug experiences that were just drug induced. Well, so we started reading those portions of Scripture. Okay, well now I'm becoming a serious believer. So I'm reading through the Bible, and I'm starting to read it cover to cover. Read it through the first 18 months I was a believer. I read it through cover to cover in English, which is the only way I could read it then. About five times through, and a sixth not long after that. So I'm reading through the Bible. And there's no question to me as I'm reading through that it's a seamless whole. Again, I'm telling you my own experience. that it's a sinless whole, that I'm not going from the Old Testament to the New Testament, or from the wonderful Old Testament to the new, terrible New Testament. No, I'm reading God's Word. I'm being impacted by God's Word. I'm being staggered by the relevance of God's Word. I can't tell you how many times I'm praying and then I'm reading it through, and there's just what I need at the right moment. And there's a truth, and here it expands in the New Testament, and here it's confirmed in the Old Testament. Wow, how amazing. And to learn about Jesus, you got to realize I didn't know much about him. So I'm reading through the New Testament. Sure, I heard preaching in our church, but we didn't hear all of the gospel stories all the time. And, you know, so I'm learning it. And I'm reading about Jesus, and I'm stunned. His teaching, his person, his miracles. You say, well, how do you know what happened? Well, I had just been changed by him. Do you understand? I had been transformed by my encounter with him. My dear, precious dad, I would hear him praying by my bedside. Outside the door of my bedroom, I could hear him praying before he'd go to sleep. He would pray in Yiddish for my sister when she before she moved out to college, and for me. And he would pray prayers. Well, when I was in trouble with drugs and so messed up, he was really praying more for me. And I said, "Hey, Dad, God answered through Jesus. God answered through Jesus. That's how it happened." So my life had been dramatically transformed through him. There was no question. There was no doubt about it. And I met with the rabbis. I talked with the rabbis in those days, ultra-Orthodox rabbis, religious Jews, not as religious Jews, different ones. And they were very sincere. And I'm sure some of them had some kind of experience that they attributed to God. But I knew what happened in my own life. And I knew when they talked about their life and I talked about my life, we were still talking about two different things. No, they weren't shooting heroin to be delivered from that. I wasn't comparing it to that. I remember talking to the local rabbi, and he said, "Mike, why is it that your experience sounds like one of the Old Testament prophets?" He didn't mean that I was getting visions and dreams. He meant the nearness of God in my life, the reality of God in my life, the intensity of my experience of God in my life. So now I'm reading through the scriptures. And I'm seeing this incredible Savior, Messiah, King, Jesus. And I'm in suspense. He opened the eyes of a blind. He healed a blind person. No, I can't believe. Wow. And he confounds the religious hypocrites. And then he has words of comfort and wisdom and amazing. And then the dead, someone dead. He raises the person from the dead. I was shocked. And then he rises. Well, I mean, I knew, I had heard that he rose, and I believe that he rose, but to read it's like he conquers death. Wow. And then he sends a spirit, and his disciples are doing the same thing. You say, well, you're just reading it in the book. Hey, friends, he's still doing the same things around the earth today. He's still working through his people mightily all around the world. So now I'm growing in my love for him, which is my love for God. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And as I'm praying and fellowshipping and spending hours, I would spend 6 hours alone with God every day, about 3+ hours in prayer, 2 hours at least reading the scriptures, and 1 hour memorizing scriptures to memorize 20 verses a day. And then wherever I'd be walking down the street to the bus stop, I'd be quoting scripture. I'd be singing the scriptures. I just living in this, walking in this. What a friend I found. What a friend I found. The best friend imaginable. And I just wanted to tell everyone about this incredible Jesus. The rest of the program, I want to give you 3 more reasons why I'm convinced, why I know that Jesus is the Messiah. Again, I'm sharing my testimony. I'm sharing my story. If you have not yet ordered the wonderful book by Asher Intrator, a guest earlier this week, Who Ate Lunch with Abraham? The Appearances of God in the Old Testament in the Form of a Man. Give us a call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. $15 postage paid. If you can sow into our Jewish outreach and ministry, wonderful. Give us a call, 1-800-278-9978. Friend, if you seek him, you'll find him. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This is a special broadcast today on the line of fire as I am testifying. Boy, I can't tell you how much joy I feel in my heart as I do this show today, as I am testifying as a Jew, why I know that Jesus, Yeshua, is our Messiah and the Savior of the world. If you are a believer, be encouraged by my story. Be encouraged by my testimony. If you are not a believer in Jesus, Yeshua, listen, perhaps there's something good in this for you. Perhaps there's something life-changing in this for you. Perhaps there's something that will completely alter the course of the rest of your life and eternity. Oh, it may cost you everything, but can you imagine something so wonderful, something so amazing that when you discover it, in this case, discover him, that you joyfully leave everything else and you don't even think twice because of what you found and discovered? I'm sharing my story, my testimony, not so much trying to convince you or prove something, but it's more to share my own story. It's Thursday, which means Thoroughly Jewish Thursday here on the Line of Fire. I'm not taking calls, but please post your thoughts and comments. Let us know your thoughts on the show on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, SDR Brown, or on the website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Okay, number one reason that I am utterly sure that Jesus Yeshua is our Messiah is the radical transformation of my own life. I talked about this at great length earlier in the broadcast, in the first half hour of our show today. So please go online, catch the whole program later. How he transformed me from LSD to PhD, from a heroin shooting, diesel gas huffing, rebellious, thief, sinful, proud, hard-hearted. How he transformed me into a lover of God, basically delivered me from the drugs that I was enslaved to overnight and gave me a heart to serve him and love him and honor him and give my life to serve other people. My personal life transformation. Then secondly, the power of the person of Yeshua. And the New Testament itself is God's word. As I'm reading the promises and experiencing them in my life, as I'm seeing, these indeed are the words of the living God. This indeed is the Son of the living God. And finding the same spirit, the same power, the same authority in the Old Testament as in the New Testament. And then initially some of the Old Testament portions, I got bogged down in some genealogies or some of the description of the building of the tabernacle. It would be so amazing as I read through the New Testament, say, read in Hebrews and then go back and read Leviticus, things would light up and become clearer and clearer and how it all fit together. Again, you may find just bunches of contradictions and what seem to you to be dead letters on a dead page. I'm telling you my experience of the living God and his word. So first, my personal life transformation. Second, the power of the person of Yeshua, just getting to know him as my very best friend, experiencing fellowship and friendship with him, knowing God as my Father. How remarkable, how utterly remarkable. So the power of the person of Yeshua, the New Testament itself as God's word. And then number three, messianic prophecy. See, when I came to faith, I didn't know about the messianic prophecies. I didn't know that there were things in Scripture that God laid out in advance, not so that you could manufacture it and make it happen, not so that you could put all the pieces together yourself and say, okay, I'll make this one the Messiah, that one the Messiah. No, in fact, as Jesus was fulfilling the messianic prophecies, his disciples didn't understand it. They had a different expectation as to who the Messiah would be and what he would do in terms of, they didn't expect only this powerful presence, this amazing teacher, this miracle worker. They also expected him to deliver them from their captivity and overthrow Rome and set up the kingdom. When he died and rose after telling them repeatedly what the prophecies really said, when he did these things, and then they look back at the Scripture, oh my God, it's laid out. There it is. It's written. It's almost like one of those things, you look at a picture and they said, you see an old man or a beautiful woman. I just see an old man. You look, you're like, I see it. There it is. Messianic prophecies. I want to open that up when we come back on the other side of the break.
Oh, God of burning, cleansing flame. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
But boy, I hope you are enjoying this broadcast as much as I am enjoying testifying to the glory of God, testifying to how I know that Jesus, Yeshua, is the Messiah of Israel, our Messiah, the Messiah of the Jewish people. I say this as a Jew, and the Savior of the entire world. And outside of him, there is no salvation. I am testifying, sharing my story more than I am trying to persuade you through intellectual arguments. And perhaps you don't believe in Jesus. Perhaps you're a Jewish person that's never believed. Perhaps you're an atheist or a skeptic. Well, just hear my story. Hear my story and consider it. Perhaps God will do something in your heart that will be so dramatic, it will radically alter the course of your life in this world and in the world to come. I'm not taking calls because of the special nature of this presentation today, but please weigh in with your comments on Facebook, and I may be able to interact with some of them as well. Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown, that's our Facebook page, and our website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. If you're a Jewish person seeking, you have questions, click on AskDrBrown.org and the website Real Messiah, or just go to RealMessiah.com. Go there and explore the debates. Listen to the debates with other rabbis. Listen to the stories there. View them. Read the articles. Dive in. We have nothing to withhold. We're not hiding something. We're no secrets. We boldly come out in the light and say, here's the story. Listen to it. Check it out for yourself. So, five reasons why I'm sure, why I know that Jesus Yeshua is our Messiah. Number one, the transformation of my own life. Virtually instantly delivered from heavy drug abuse, shooting heroin and other drugs, heavy drug user, transformed 40 years ago, not through some program, and thank God for good programs, not through some program, not through some counseling, not because I was on the bottom and needing help. No, God convicted me of my sin, showed me my guilt, showed me the uncleanness of my ways, and showed me the depth of his love. And when I truly cried out to him, I was transformed. I was changed. Number one, the transformation of my life. Number two, the power of the person of Jesus in the New Testament. Reading through God's Word, reading through the entire Bible. Wow, the power of this. This is God's Word, not just the Old Testament, but the New Testament as well. And this Jesus, reading his Word, seeing his acts, the reality of it. Hey, I had encountered him. He had changed me here in 1971. That's a long time after he was on this earth. I found that he was alive and that he was bringing me into the intimate knowledge of God and the hours spent with him in prayer and worship. How can you describe the beauty and the glory and the power of it? And then the majesty of his person in Scripture and the wisdom and the life-changing nature of his words. So that was the second thing in my own experience, in my own growth. Number three, I was not initially told about messianic prophecy. In other words, when I was being brought to faith, no one sat down with me. I don't recall it ever happening with my friends. And they said, okay, hear all these prophecies and see, Jesus did this, Jesus did this, Jesus fulfilled this, so it has to be him. No, I was drawn to the Lord, convicted of my sin, drawn to him, changed. Now I found out about these. And my friend said, yeah, it's like a prophecy like 700 years before Jesus or something like that. And it talks about him suffering and dying. It's like, really? In the Bible? I didn't know that. Wow, that's cool. That's amazing. And as a new believer, I was talking to my dad about it, and he asked, you know, he kind of challenged me, like, well, where is this? You say there are these prophecies about him. Where are they? Well, I didn't know because I didn't have the knowledge at that point. I was brand new. We sat down at the kitchen table one night and I got my Bible to answer his question, and I just flip here and there, and there it is. As we start reading the passage, and he was as shocked to see it as I was. It just seemed like there it was, Jesus dying for us, taking our sins, and we thought he was guilty, but he was actually dying for us. Wow. Well, as I saw with tremendous clarity, this prophecy refers to him, this prophecy refers to him, this prophecy refers to him. The problem was, I was meeting with these rabbis, these religious Jews. They said, that can't be Jesus. That's not Jesus. That doesn't refer to him. See, the Hebrew doesn't say that. See, the New Testament twists it. See, it gets contradicted. You say, well, did you go to the books like Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, that five-volume work? No, I didn't, because it didn't exist, because I wrote those books. In other words, I wrote those books because there was no such material available for me at that time. I didn't have anything like that to go to. So I'm trying to pull myself up by my own bootstraps, and you know, I go to the rabbis, and I say, well, look, here, this little book, it talks about messianic prophecy, and they throw it back. That's not right. The Hebrew doesn't say that. I think, oh, I got to study the Hebrew, learn this on my own, and here's what happened. I want to share a unique personal experience I had, and it's very personal, but I feel I should share it. I want to testify to this publicly, and even though the vast majority of you listening, I've never met you face-to-face or seen you face-to-face, I feel that camaraderie, I feel that friendship, I feel that ability to be candid and open with you. So the rabbi of the synagogue that befriended me as a brand-new believer was not a super religious Jew. He was conservative, not orthodox, all right? So he looked at me as more religious than him. I was just wrong. I was in error. As he said to me, you're a more spiritual person than I am, but your spirituality is misguided. Now, I thought that's what Judaism was, that you went to synagogue on high holidays here and there, that, you know, the synagogue's normally 90% empty the rest of the year, that you pray these little prayers. It's kind of wishy-washy. That's what I thought it was. That was it. So I didn't know that there was a Judaism that had survived through the centuries and thrived through the centuries of great devotion to God and this tradition of study and holy living. I didn't know about that. So this rabbi now, after I'm a believer for a year and a half, he brings me to meet ultra-Orthodox rabbis in Brooklyn. He said, look, Mike, they're just as spiritual as you are, except they're right. In other words, they pray for hours, they study for hours, they're very zealous for God, they live very holy, devoted lives, but they're right. Well, you know, I met with them, and we had a lot in common. Obviously, there were other things that were different, but it threw me. I mean, they're very devoted. They were nice guys. They knew the Hebrew fluently from childhood. I can read it at that point. And so I met with them a number of times. In fact, I met with quite a number of rabbis. This rabbi, the local rabbi, really wanted to see me come to traditional Judaism and thought I could be a significant figure in traditional Judaism. And he had quite a number of rabbis. And when I meet with this one, I drove to different places in Brooklyn. We drove together to Far Rockaway. These are different places in New York. I would just go drive, meet with someone privately, and we'd study Hebrew together. I mean, I did this over a period of years. And I spent time with ultra-Orthodox Jews in Brooklyn from the Lubavitcher sect, perhaps the most famous Hasidic Jews in the world today. And after one encounter, I just felt challenged. It was a vulnerable time in my life. I was now in college and working some and didn't have all the hours that I had before to be in prayer and the Word every day. And it was just kind of a more vulnerable season in my life. And I was tremendously challenged. And I wanted to please God. I wanted to be a faithful Jew. I mean, I knew I was a Jew. I knew the God of Israel was real. And I wanted to please him at any cost or consequence. And I got on my knees. I got on my face to pray, and I was in a quandary. I thought, well, if I pray in Jesus' name for God to show me the truth about Jesus, I'm prejudicing things. But if you don't pray in Jesus' name, God won't listen. It may seem silly to you, but I was stuck. And I said, God, I want to know. I have to know. If everything I believe about Jesus is false and traditional Judaism is true, then I will follow you. I will follow you as a traditional Jew. Whatever reproach I have now and the mockery of being wrong with my friends and so on and so forth, I'm going to leave that. I'll do it. I'll do it. But if what I believe is true and Jesus really is the Messiah, then I don't care what reproach I suffer from my people. If it doesn't matter what rejection or death, it doesn't matter. I've got to follow God. I will follow you no matter what. I don't know that I was consciously thinking of martyrdom, but certainly the reproach and the rejection and being looked at as an outsider the rest of my life, I said, I don't care. And I said, God, I've just got to know. And I knew ultimately my answer was in the Scriptures. Even though my own experience was so transforming, I knew ultimately my answer was in the Scriptures. I said, God, I just have to know. And I just opened the Bible. Now, I had opened the Bible before, and it went to this page, but this time, boom, it opens up to Isaiah 53. But it didn't open up with my mind blank because I had been talking to these rabbis for hours and they gave me all the reasons why it was Israel and not Jesus and all the reasons why it couldn't be Jesus. I had all of that in my mind, and yet when I opened the Scriptures, It was so clear. I remember saying, God, if this is not Jesus, then you've deceived all the people of Israel. In other words, they're so overwhelmingly clear. These words were just like bolts of holy lightning penetrating my heart, my mind, to the depths of my soul, that I knew there could be no possible question, no possible question whatsoever. Jesus, Yeshua, was the Messiah, the one spoken of, who bore our sins, who carried our pains, who was rejected, whom we thought was guilty and dying for his own sin, and yet was dying for our sins so that by his wounds we could be healed. And I tell you, the doubt, the questions were obliterated, eradicated in the beauty and power of that word. Oh, I could go on and expand. It was a sacred experience, and I am forever indebted to the Lord for his word, for his truth.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, this is the last segment in a very special, thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast here on the Line of Fire. As I share my own story, not just my personal testimony, but five reasons why I'm absolutely sure that Jesus is the Messiah. I've done shows on Messianic prophecy and laid that out. I've got a whole book answering Jewish objections just to Messianic prophecy. I'm not seeking to didactically teach as much as to share my own story, my own life experience, and why I know that Jesus is our Messiah, the Messiah of the Jewish people, and the Savior of the world. I'm not taking calls, but please weigh in on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, or our website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. So first reason that I've shared why I know that Jesus is Messiah is my personal life transformation 40 years ago. Number two, the power of the person of Jesus Yeshua in the New Testament itself as God's Word, as I studied and read and met with the Lord. Number three, Messianic prophecies. I can demonstrate from Scripture the Messiah had to come before the Second Temple was destroyed, that he'd be rejected by his people and yet be a light to the nations, that he would suffer and die and yet be delivered from the jaws of death, and his salvation would bring praise to the ends of the earth. There's so much I could open up from there, but that'll lead into point number four, that it's God's purpose that the seed of Abraham would bring blessing to the entire world and the knowledge of the one true God to the entire world. And Isaiah 42, Isaiah 49 mention that this servant of the Lord will be a light to the nations. This seed, not just the people as a whole, but the chosen one, the Messiah, who fulfills the destiny and purpose of Israel. My fourth reason that I'm sure that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah and the Savior of the world is the worldwide work of God through Jesus and the power of Jesus' name. Oh, look, it's an amazing thing when you travel the nations and you meet people who have supernaturally come out of Hinduism, out of Islam, out of atheism, out of terrorism, out of witchcraft, out of paganism, out of animism, out of Buddhism, out of unbelieving Judaism, out of traditional Judaism, to find Jesus the Jew, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Savior, and come to worship the one true God. Oh, it's happening every day by the thousands around the world. And you say, well, Muslims have their experiences. Okay, but hang on. These are experiences that are causing people to love the God of Israel. These are experiences that are causing people who, in some cases, were haters of Israel and despisers of Israel to now be number one followers and supporters because they encountered the God of Israel through Jesus. I've run into it in Kenya. I've run into it in jungle regions in India. I've run into it from Mexico to Korea to Sweden to Italy. And just these amazing stories. And the power of Jesus' name, setting people free from every kind of demonic bondage and making clear that he is Lord, that God has given him the highest position in the universe, and he is Lord to the glory of the Father, a light to the nations. I've asked rabbis, well, is God supernaturally confirming his work through Jesus to the Goyim, to the nations? Because you say it's not for the Jews. The problem, of course, is that the whole New Testament presents him as the Messiah of Israel. Because he's the Messiah of Israel, he's the nations. If he's not the Messiah of Israel, he's not the Savior of anybody. oh, the stakes are high. You say, I'm not really into this Jewish ministry thing. Well, friend, if Jesus is not the Messiah of Israel, he's not the Savior of you. He's not the Savior of anybody. He's either an imposter, a deceiver, or his followers were deceived, or whatever. But the New Testament witness is clear. He is the Messiah of Israel, and therefore the Savior of the world. I've asked my rabbi friends, is God supernaturally confirming the work of the gospel through Jesus? Because you better believe, through his name, it's going to the ends of the earth. So that is, number four, the worldwide work of God. If you've traveled to the nations as much as I have, and have friends and co-workers and students, spiritual sons and daughters laboring around the world, and hear the stories and the reports, you say, oh my God, what a Savior. What a Savior. The confirming work of God in my life over the last 40 years. Now, again, you might have your story, or I meditated, or I had this crystal in my room, this New Age thing. You have your stories. I'm telling you mine. All right? And listen to the whole hour. If you missed any of it, ask drbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Later today, you'll be able to catch the entire story. The confirming work of God in my own life for 40 years. I've had ups and downs. I've had trials. I've had disappointments. I've prayed for people's healing and they've died. This world is not just a bed of roses. We understand that. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, have overcome the world. But not just the experience of meeting with God in prayer, but the times of being led specifically, feeling burdened to pray for something that seems obscure and completely out there, only to find out that that very day or that very time was the time that this very thing was happening in that person's life, and I was praying for God to send the very answer that came. Or in times of real critical need in my own life, for someone to call in the midst of it and say, my God laid you on my heart to pray this and this for you. Wow, that's exactly what's happening. Or the things that I knew God had spoken to me that I would see, that I would do, that I would be part of. Even being with you on the radio. That's not a miracle to be on the radio. There are plenty of people on the radio. But if you knew the whole story, even this platform that God has graciously given you and the things I journaled years back, knowing what God was calling me to do and to be, and to be a national voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, and to have this platform to reach the Jewish people as well. And this is just a tiny part of a larger story. Things that have opened up in so many different ways that I journaled and felt I knew God spoke to me. And people said, Mike, if you don't do it like this, it'll never happen. Mike, if you don't play this game, it'll never happen. I said, hey, sorry, that's not who I am. That's not what God called me to do. And then decades later, years later, seeing those very promises, those things that only God knew, that he laid on my heart in private, that I never told anybody about, to see him bring some of these things to pass, to see him fulfill some of the dreams, to see him work the way he's worked. Friends, I would be an utter raving lunatic fool idiot to deny the reality of God in my life. A few years ago, I just started jotting something down. I wish I had journaled this all these 40 years very carefully. But I just started jotting something down, you know, for atheists, the proof of God's work in my life. And the more I wrote things down, I thought, wow, I would have to be an unbelieving fool to deny what God has done in my life. I'm not saying you have to believe it because it's my story. I'm talking about myself. Listen to this whole hour, why I know that I know that Jesus Yeshua is our Messiah. And can I recommend a great resource? I had a wonderful guest, one of my dear Messianic Jewish friends, Asher Intrader, joined me on the air on Tuesday. We talked about his new book, Who Ate Lunch with Abraham? Divine appearances in the Old Testament, God appearing in the form of a man. What an amazing, helpful, clear-headed, edifying, eye-opening book. We've got copies of it. It's not that easy to get hold of otherwise. Give us a call, $15 postage paid, Who Ate Lunch with Abraham. Get a bunch of copies for friends, for pastors, leaders, for your Jewish friends. Who Ate Lunch with Abraham, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, as Paul said, I can also say, I know whom I believe. This is not a matter of speculation. This is not a matter of secondhand experience. This is not a matter of all heart, no mind, all mind, no heart. This is a matter of to the core of my being, everything I am, body, soul, spirit. I know that I know that I know the God of Israel is true, and Jesus is our Messiah.